So we all, at one point or another, either have to go to the doctors because we have a cold or something. But the area that seems to be the most challenging is chronic illness, whether it be a child, a baby, or an adult.
You know, people are like, oh, okay, well, this seems like a medical talk. But it does relate to money a lot, because what people don't realize is that I would say medical is the number one reason people file bankruptcy.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, if you get a hospital bill, never pay it first. Always get an itemized list.
Yep.
Always double check it. And if you're still not sure, find an advocate. People also don't realize the importance of medical and durable and financial power of attorneys, and how if you don't have them, people can't help you.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jax, or Jacqueline Kreider. And today we have Mrs. Terry, and I'm gonna butcher it again. Is it McClellan. There you go. Sorry, guys. Anyways, she is an independent patient advocate, and she's going to tell us a little bit about what exactly that is here in a minute. But we are super excited to have her on today. So, Terry, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of explain what it is exactly that you do.
Sure. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me.
Of course.
I appreciate that. And yes, Terry McClellan, I'm an independent patient advocate. And what does that mean? Short little elevator pitch, I call it, is I help people navigate the healthcare system. And then somebody says, well, what does that mean? So we all, at one point or another, either have to go to the doctors because we have a cold or something. But the area that seems to be the most challenging is chronic illness, whether it be a child, a baby, or an adult. My niche happens to be elderly, because we are living so much longer, because
sure,
we are creating so many healthcare things and avenues to stay alive longer than what we used to.
Absolutely.
And so I'm able to help what I call the sandwich generation a lot. So if you're a mom and you have kids and you have parents and you're like, gosh, if I take care of my kids, I'm ignoring my parents. If I take care of my parents, I'm ignoring my kids. So a lot of people will look for an advocate to kind of say, hey, I need somebody to go to the doctors with mom and dad to manage their meds, to make sure that they're understanding what's happening.
Right.
But the other thing that independent advocates do that I think is even more important, a lot of people do not realize that 1 in 5 people that are admitted to a hospital have a medication error daily. At home, 1 in 3 have a medication error.
Wow.
When you're crazy in the hospital, we trust that the doctors, the nurses, that everybody's working with us, that they know what they're doing, and that whatever they're doing to me is what needs to be done. And I hate to say it, but today, because the insurance companies drive healthcare,
yeah,
not the doctors, absolutely, they dictate when the doctors can discharge, when they can admit, what meds you can go on based on your drug plan, et cetera. The role that advocates play in that is making sure that you're getting the care that you need to get, that you're getting timely medication, timely tests. Also, that your insurance, I always say, people are like, I have insurance. Insurance's job is to say no. Let's face it. Part of your talk is money, right?
Yep.
Well, insurance wants to make money. How do they make money? They make you pay a whole bunch of money, and then they say, no, 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 no.
Absolutely.
And my job, an independent advocate's job, is really there to basically work with the doctors when they write an order for something and explain why the insurance should cover it. So that is, or why you should be able to go to a rehab, or
right,
why you should stay an extra day in the hospital.
Was it stuff that you could technically do on your own? But let's be real, nobody has got time for that or whatever. And nobody has the knowledge to navigate it, to figure out like, okay, so what is this form 4692B? I mean, it's like mortgage. Like, we have so many dang form numbers, hard to keep track of what they all are and what they mean and any of that.
But you don't know what you don't know either. So like, a lot of people don't know, for example, I'm a type 2 diabetic. And if you read the standards of care on a type 2 diabetic, and I'm diet controlled because I manage my weight and my eating, the standard of practice is I should be on a cholesterol pill. I should be on, you know, a pill to help manage, like metformin, to help manage what my blood sugar overall results are.
Right.
And you have a choice to educate yourself and decide, no, I'd rather not do it with a pill and do it with diet and exercise.
Right.
Even though the standard of care is a certain way. And so a lot of people don't know that they can say no, or a lot of people don't know that they can request a different med versus this med. Like maybe the med that the doctor wants to put you on, for example, I have AFib and I'm on Coumadin. It's a $4 drug. Well, they wanted to put me on Eliquis. Well, that's a $1,000 a month drug. So because I'm a nurse and I have a machine and I know how to check my INRs and I know how to eat, I asked the doctor to do that for me because it's much more affordable. So if you don't know that and you don't know what other drug could work, you're just trusting the medical community. And I'm not saying don't trust the medical community at all. I'm just saying that you need help. Just like I know nothing about mortgages. And if I needed to buy a house and get a mortgage, I'd have to call you because I'm clueless.
Right.
Right.
Well, so, and it is hard because first of all, our world is 10 times more complex than it was even 20 years ago, right? Because we have access to so much more information and so many more things. And that's awesome, right? Like on the one hand, right? Because there is so many more things you can figure out and you can find out and like so many more people you can find. But then on the same token, there's so many more aspects that like you have to navigate and figure out. And you're like, where do I even start? Like, I have no idea. You know, people are like, oh, okay, well, this seems like a medical talk, but it does relate to money a lot because what people don't realize is that I would say medical is the number one reason people file bankruptcy.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, if you get a hospital bill, never pay it first. Always get an itemized list.
Yep.
Always double check it. And if you're still not sure, find an advocate. Because independent advocates don't only help with like medicine, healthcare, hospital, not everybody, but some also help fight bills. Some help fight no's to the insurance to appeal. I happen to be fortunate enough that my background enables me to do birth to death, I call it. So whether you're a baby or whether you're older, whether you're going on hospice, whether you're 40 years old and you have bad hips and you got to get a hip done, or you're 60 and you need to get knees, it doesn't really matter. Just this past weekend, I had a client get a hospital bill for an ambulance for their father, and I don't know, $5,000 or something.
Oh, yeah, well, they're very
expensive. The gentleman was taken to the hospital, admitted he had what we call necrotic bowel, a dead tissue in our bowel.
Right.
He honestly almost passed away. So he was admitted, had to have like 3 surgeries within a week's time. So according to insurance and the way it works is that ambulance bill should have been paid
right
because the patient was admitted.
Right. It wasn't like he just called because I'm not doing so great. And so I go up at the hospital and then it's like,
oh, and then they send you home
and nothing happened. Yeah. Goodbye. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Right.
Right.
And sometimes because of our insurance, you might go to the hospital and it's like, say the ambulance showed up and they wanted to rule out a stroke. Say the stroke got ruled out and you got discharged, not admitted. Well, that's still a reason to have called 911. And so an advocate knows what codes, what needs to be written, can get the copies of the medical records, can submit that to the insurance and can get it paid.
Yep.
Right.
So I was going to say, so a long, long time ago, because I worked in a call center for quite a few years in mortgage, and I'll never forget that I actually was doing a loan for a woman who worked in the medical coding side. So she was like on the billing side. And she said, if you knew how many people miscoded, like, because it was just a clerical error and they miscoded. And so then insurance kicks it back out or says that the patient owes. And so often people are paying those bills and they're actually not owed. We're in my own personal case. So we have like our regular insurance. And then my husband, who is 100% disabled veteran, he has,
thank you for your service,
TRICARE. He has VA CHAMPS, which is a very like niche kind of insurance that is very specific. Like you have to not qualify for TRICARE, have a spouse or like my daughter, right? Like be a dependent of 100% disabled veteran. And so we have TRICARE. Well, when my daughter was born, we had our regular insurance and then we had TRICARE, but we had VA CHAMPS coming in underneath it. Mm-hmm. VA CHAMPS has a kind of code, if you will, that says if you accept any money from them, then that's it. The rest of the bill is discharged. Like there's no more bill that is owed. So they accepted my regular insurance and then the VA CHAMPS insurance and paid out, you know, some on each thing for the birth of my daughter. And then the hospital tried to bill us separately. And I called them up and I'm like, no, I don't think you understand. And they're like, well, yeah, you owe this extra money. And I said, great. Did you read the guidelines of when you accepted the VA CHAMPS money? And they were like, and magically all the bills went away. But a lot of people would have just not even thought about it and paid it.
Exactly. And since you speak of veterans, my father is a veteran. I also help veterans if they haven't gotten qualified for benefits and they have fought in World War II, Vietnam, Korea, and even, you know, the Gulf Wars and all of that. I can help people apply. And if there's disabilities there because of like Agent Orange and stuff like that,
oh, yeah,
I can help people do that. I can also help people with like aid and attendant stuff. So I'm a part of the VFW. I'm a daughter and a wife of veterans. So
nice.
That is something that I also do. And people don't realize how much is out there and available to you.
For sure.
It's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. Yes. It's a lot, but it helps.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
People also don't realize the importance of medical and durable and financial power of attorneys and how if you don't have them, people can't help you. And if you're a veteran and you're older and you're what I call a solo ager and you don't have any children, if you haven't listed somebody as your on a VAD, you know, they have their special forms. It cannot be a civilian medical or financial power of attorney. It has to be one from them. And if you don't list somebody, do you know that you can't get any of the medical records health-wise at all? And the business side, the benefit side of the VA does not communicate with the healthcare side. It's two different things. And I know this because my father's a veteran and he's on hospice, and I've had to talk about TRICARE and Medicare, you know, TRICARE for life and Medicare. People try to send my dad a bill and I'm like, nope, he is 100% covered.
Exactly. I was going to say, the thing is what people don't realize is it is about the money. And let's be real, the insurance is just trying to collect where they can. And so, exactly. So often that people are like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to pay it. And I get it from my perspective, right? I get it. They don't want it to end up in their credit. And that's what they're afraid of. What most people don't realize too is from the money side, from the credit perspective, it's actually fairly easy to remove medical collections because of the HIPAA laws. Because in order to hold a collection on credit, they have to abide by what's called FACRA, which is the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And in order to meet the Fair Credit Reporting Act, you must prove that the debt belongs to somebody. And in order to prove the debt belongs to somebody, they have to break HIPAA. So they have to decide which one are they breaking. Are they breaking FACRA or are they breaking HIPAA? And usually they would rather break FACRA. And so they'll just pull it off.
Well, the other thing is they sell bills.
Mm-hmm. They do.
You know, so like your hospital, if you don't pay within 30 days, they automatically send it to collections.
Yep.
Well, once they send it to collections and somebody buys it, just like you said, because of HIPAA, they don't have all the specifics.
Correct.
So you get this bill and you're like, I don't even know who this company is.
Yep.
And then you ask them to prove. And just like you said, if they can't prove it, then technically they have to remove it.
That's correct. Yeah, they have to hear. There are certain pieces that they must identify. But the problem is that they're going to kind of try to get away with what they can until you force them. It's no different than they're going to bill you. And so for those of you who are listening, who've ever received bills and you're like, oh man, I don't even know if I should have paid that. Make sure that if you're not going to be hiring somebody like Terry to be able to help you with long-term kind of stuff, it's like a one-off, that you get some information, because you'll be surprised at how many things your insurance does actually cover if you actually just kind of push back on it. They're not going to just tell you out of the goodness of their heart. I'm just going to be real with you. They're not going to do that.
Well, now I'll give you a personal example. I had a mammogram earlier this year, and I'm self-employed, so I am self-pay.
Right.
I use the option of a Christian MediShare option, and I have Aflac, right?
Okay. Yep.
So Christian MediShare or any MediShare program, the way it works is a group of people get together and share medical bills, basically is what it is. And so you have a premium like an insurance, and it's paying other people's bills.
Right.
And then you have your max out of pocket that you have to share before your bills can be shared.
Yep.
Like a deductible.
Yep.
They are not called that in the share world.
Sure.
But
same concept. So general idea.
Yes. To help understand.
Sure.
So for me, my Aflac, I have a emergency rider. So if I get admitted, God forbid, stroke, heart attack, whatever, I get a one-time lump sum of money that would cover my max out of pocket for the shared stuff. And then the shared would pay my bills once they came in, provided once I got it, that it wasn't a pre-existing condition. I've been on MediShare for 4 years now, so they will not help cover pre-existing conditions for 3 years.
Right.
So you have to know the rules,
correct.
But it's very similar to insurance, right? So that makes me a self-pay. Well, when you're a self-pay, do you know it's cheaper even than co-pays sometimes to do self-pay? So when I go to the doctor, to do self-pay for a doctor's visit, my copay on an insurance that's, you know, a low deductible, high premium, whatever, might be $150. And if I say I'm self-pay, they'll say, oh, $50. You know what I mean? And that's what the hospital or the doctor's office or whoever's charging, right?
Oh, yeah.
When I had my mammogram, I went in, I said, I'm self-pay. So I paid for the actual mammogram.
Right.
And they educated me, which I already knew, and said, you're going to get a separate bill from radiology. So if you don't know this, whenever you go to the hospital, you always will have a doctor bill and a radiologist bill, a lab bill, and your hospital bill. And people don't know that.
They think it's always so messed up. You're like, how many bills are you going to send me? Like 40?
Right. Exactly. So when I got a bill in the mail, it said $500 and it said left breast, right breast. And I was like, $250 per breast, I've already paid. So I called the insurance, or I called the bill at the facility on the bill. And they said, no, what you paid for was the mammogram. And I said, oh, so you're telling me that the doctor, I went in at 6 o'clock in the morning and I was home by 7:30 and had the results by 7:45. So you're telling me they're charging me $250 for a radiologist to read each breast. So I happen to have a daughter that's a radiologist. And so I said, my daughter's a radiologist, and said that shouldn't have been more than, you know, $50 or whatever. So like per breast to read. And so they put me on hold, came back on and said, that'll be $97. But if you don't know to call and push back, Nope. Right? I would have paid that $500 bill.
So. Well, I was going to say, and so this is where it's a lesson of like, you have to kind of decide to choose your heart, right? Like, do you want to pay it and like take the hit monetarily? Do you want to push back, right? But it is going to take some time. Do you want to hire somebody who's like you, who can kind of help navigate that kind of, you know, a group of paperwork and things like that or whatever? I mean, again, this is choose your heart. I just don't think a lot of people are aware how much goes into the back piece, right?
The back piece.
Well, most things, right? I mean, there's a lot of complication. It's sort of like, you know, we joke all the time. So my brand is, you know, PBJ Mortgage. We're making mortgage simple. As simple as making a peanut butter or jelly sandwich. And my goal is for you not to see the complicated hot mess on the back end of mortgage, right? Like, you shouldn't, you're paying me, I'm the expert, like I should be handling like all that junk for you, right? You should just have to come to me, I give you my expertise, I say, hey, Terry, this is what I need you to provide. And then that's it, right? Like I should handle all the other things, but a lot of people just don't realize and recognize, like there's a lot happening in the back end on so many different things. And the truth is that sometimes it doesn't always go according to plan, especially when you think about who does a lot of those, that paperwork. They're the lowest level paid people. Sometimes they're outsourcing that stuff. So like it's done even overseas. Like, so they may not even understand.
At 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well,
and I will say I've had several people call me to fight a bill. And I ask questions. First of all, I do a complimentary 30-minute phone call with anybody who wants to hire me for any reason.
Nice.
One, I feel like you need to know who I am and you need to feel comfortable that you want to work with me.
Sure.
Two, the flip is true. Like, I need to know who you are, and I want to work with everybody. I don't usually say no, but there might be reasons to say no.
Sure.
And somebody called me once, they were in a motor vehicle accident. They still had like maybe a $1,500 bill or something. And they're like, and they had a lawyer and the lawyer couldn't get it paid. And I said, I appreciate you calling me, but if a lawyer who deals with, you know, wrongful accident suits couldn't get that paid, I'm not going to be able to
say,
get
yeah,
paid.
Absolutely. That's going to be a little bit of your pay grade.
I'm really good, but I'm not that good. But also, like, to your point, if you've got a bill that's under $1,000 and it might take me, you know, 20 hours to fight it, it might just be worth it to pay the $1,000 because, you know, I'm not super expensive, but I'm not cheap either.
Sure.
So if I look at the information and I'm like, you know what, it really is going to cost you more to hire me than not. And so somebody might say, well, what's an example of hiring? So I had a client once that was in the hospital for 9 weeks and he was 40 years old and he had two children at home and a wife that homeschooled. That was an hour and a half away in Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
And he was in Texas in a hospital. She called me on a Sunday night. I went to the hospital. When she called me, she said, they are medevacing him right now. He had coded already twice. In 9 weeks, he coded three times. I can say he's at home and alive and doing well now. And this
Thank goodness.
Was 2.5 years ago. But the medevac bill was $50,000.
Oh, yeah.
So I got their insurance. And they said that they owed it because they didn't get pre-auth. Well, usually people don't call a medevac unless you're dying and you're dead and you have to get somewhere fast. For page like 13.
That is so ridiculous that they said that.
Right.
Not surprising, though, but like, what?
Yeah. So page 13 of their insurance plan said, unless it's a life-sustaining emergency, you know what I mean? So
we can't just take medevac for like a joyride. Who did that? I want to know who is the one why they had to put that into the insurance. Because you know, some lawyer wrote that in there because somebody decided that they broke their leg and they needed to medevac them to the hospital or some ridiculousness.
Who knows the reason? But that was paid. I got that paid. So in the 9 weeks that they were in the hospital and that I was up there and that I was doing those things. And then when he was discharged, he was on significant pain medicine for the condition he had.
Absolutely.
And they've given a testimony. It's on my YouTube. So I'm allowed to share it without breaking HIPAA. They've signed releases. He had what they call necrotic pancreatitis. Only 4%. Let me make sure I'm saying this right. 14% survived that. Okay.
Wow.
And the likelihood of reoccurrence is like 85%.
Holy
cow. This man is a walking miracle.
Yeah.
And so when he was discharged, the insurance, the pharmacy said, we cannot give you these pain meds until you prove why you're on such a high dose. And we're like, you don't understand. This has decreased like 75%. But when you have necrotizing pancreatitis basically means dead tissue. And for 9 weeks, he had multiple surgeries to remove dead tissue.
Right.
It's very painful.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today. Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
So if you've ever even had frostbite, or even if your hands got really, really, really cold and you came in and you put them under the water and like they burned.
Right.
So imagine the inside of your gut doing that, you know? So
sounds awful.
They had to pay, I don't know, like close to 10 grand for their pain meds because he couldn't go without them.
Right.
Then I post fought the insurance.
Yeah.
And got
well, yeah. Cause he's like, I can't survive without this or whatever. So we're going to upfront the money, but we need to get that money back. So you're fighting to get it back.
So I was able to basically get $60,000 of debt, you know, paid off. And people will say, well, you were so expensive. And you can go to YouTube, my YouTube channel, and watch his testimony. He says the amount she saved us is nowhere near the amount that we paid her.
People, it's an interesting thing that we find it in mortgage all the time, right? Because we live in a society where, because we have so much free access to information, we think cheapest is best, right? Like, well, I can do that for myself. Just like that's why I just said a minute ago, choose your hard, right? Like, what version of hard do you want? Because the truth is that anybody who is smart enough and has access to the internet probably could figure out a lot of what you're doing. Maybe they don't have the level of expertise. Like, it would be a lot more of a researching game for them to figure it out, but they probably could like get themselves there, right? With enough conversations and research and watching videos or whatever. But then you have to ask yourself, like, what was that worth, right? So like people, and like I said, it's the same thing with mortgage, because people get mad at me because if they're calling up to get a mortgage, the first question that they have for us is like, well, what's the interest rate? And I'm like, that is irrelevant. And they get mad at me for saying that. Like, I literally wrote a whole chapter in my book called Debunking Conventional Wisdom, why interest rate is most definitely not the only thing that matters. Because what they're not understanding is there's so many factors that's going into dial in that interest rate. I can't just spit you out something and one, it be accurate, and two, it be related to your situation. And I've spent 20 years of expertise to figure out, you know, myself and my team to ask questions, to drill down on exactly what you need. It's no different with your space, right? And so it's like, okay, well, if you're going to ask somebody, I mean, like a perfect example, you would be a great person to have for like my father. So my father is a hemophiliac and that's a very rare condition. In fact, I'll never forget when we went to go deal with IVF and we're in there with the fertility doctor and he's asking us about, you know, a medical conditions for our family, like cancers and all this stuff. And my husband are saying, no, 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 no. We get to the fact of, is there anything else? And I was like, yeah, my dad's a hemophiliac. And the doctor looked at me like, what? What? Then he said, is your dad still alive? And I'm like, yeah, but he almost died from a routine colonoscopy because he has a rare blood disease that creates a lot of challenges. Right. And when that happens, he has to have factor VIII shots, which are literally like $75,000 a shot.
Yep.
And you have to have like one every 12 hours. So it's crazy because the medical expense or whatever, and I mean, he's got really great medical care, luckily, right? And like health insurance, but you know, it's crazy when you're dealing with those kind of situations. So, I mean, let's be real. We're not saying Terry's your girl if you, you know, are just fighting some little small time hospital bill or something like that. But she's probably your girl if you've got something chronic going on or you have a lot of heavy expenses. But people just aren't aware in general at how expensive medical stuff is.
People are also not aware that they can still research. For example, even if you have insurance. So I needed to get a knee x-ray a few weeks back and the hospital was like $1,800. But before we could do it, you need to go see the doctor to get it. And I said, okay, well, the doctor's not going to be able to tell me what's wrong with my knee without an x-ray. So why do I need to pay $500 to see a specialist to then go get an $1,800 x-ray?
Right.
So what I did is I called a concierge doctor and saw them for $75. They wrote an order for an x-ray. I called around to all the x-ray places and I found a place that I could go and I only paid, I want to say $450, $480. And then most recently, my chiropractor said, the next time you need a knee x-ray, let me know. I'll charge you $69. I was like, yeah, I forgot that chiropractors have x-rays in their office. So, and they can't do all kinds of x-rays, but they can do spine and knee and back and neck and whatever. So ask around because your insurance is going to get billed the $1,800. And the reason places bill so much is because the insurance are always going to pay less. So, and the insurance might pay $900, right? And accept it. And there might be no copay for you, depending on the insurance plan. But if you go somewhere that's $480 and your insurance covers it, you've saved your insurance money too. And people are like, well, why do I want to do that? Well, if more of us did that, then we could bring down the cost of insurance. Yep. Now I know that I'm talking hugely global. We got a lot of lobbyists in DC that, you know, our insurance industry, our hospital industry, medical industry, our pharmaceutical industry are all fighting for all this stuff. And they're pouring all this money into our government. And that's what dictates our rates.
Absolutely.
So when we wake up and we figure that out and we start taking some responsibility, but like you said, we don't all have time. If you're a single mom with five kids and your husband just died, you don't have time to do that. You know,
but the thing is that you have to have the awareness. That's the key. Right. And like the whole reason that the podcast exists is because there's so many people who just don't have a clue. Like they don't understand how any of that works. It's no different than I can't tell you. So, oh man, all the hail people hate me so much. Like the roofers, like the fly-by-night ones, because I was quite a few years back, I was like the very first house in the neighborhood. And because I have a background in insurance, so property and casualty, I've also sold life insurance. I do mortgage for a living. I have a law degree. So I have like all these really practical related things in financial world and financial space and all this. And so they would stop and they would knock on my door and they'd be like, hey, the hailstorm came through and can we check our roof? And I'd say, sure, absolutely. Go on. I knew because of the level of hail like that, most of the time it wasn't gonna whatever. And they would try to convince me that I needed a new roof. I'm like, great. Can you show me the photos? Oh yeah, see? And I'm like, cool. So could I not just take a couple of shingles and like repair that? Not need a whole new roof? Well, I mean, your insurance will cover a whole new roof. And I'm like, yeah, cool. But what's going to happen is it's going to drive up the cost for everything. Well, it's not going to, I mean, it's not going to affect your direct premium because of the fact that it's an act of God. So it's not going to like negatively surcharge on your insurance. And I said, yeah, I'm well aware of that. I used to work in insurance. However, what most people don't realize is if everybody is doing 8 million hail claims, it's going to raise the pool of like the whole area up in cost. And so people just don't think about those kinds of things, right? Like you have to look at it from your perspective of like, okay, what's best for me and my family? And then like a broader perspective of how does that affect everybody as a whole? Right? It has to be a dual approach.
Do you not feel like our world today has kind of become very selfish though? And it's like, well, it doesn't affect me, so I don't care.
Correct.
Well, that's the problem we have with our world right now is we don't care about our neighbor and the next person. And if we did, we would all be in a better place. Yep. Also, some insurance company companies will get up there and they'll say, we can cover the deductible, this, that, and whatever.
Which is illegal in Texas anyway.
Exactly. So like, also we have a hail season. So the first hailstorm is probably not when I'm going to get my roof checked unless I got a gaping hole, right?
Right.
I'm going to wait till the end of the hail season and make sure we don't have six more hailstorms, right?
It always blows my mind when people get it fixed right away. I don't want to drive a car or have a roof or whatever. And I'm like, are you guys crazy? Like, you guys are crazy. But if they want to be selfish, they should think about the overall picture of what it's going to do as a rule. Because if you're doing it, who else is doing it? It's not just you. right? Like, go drive around after a hailstorm and see how many people are getting their roofs fixed, right? Like, so it's the same concept with like your doctors and stuff like that. Yes, you want to utilize your doctors. Yes, you know, whatever, but like, be smart about it. Like, be smart about how you use it, because with anything with money, it's a resource to use nonetheless, and understand that if you don't use it properly, it can have negative effects. That's right.
I also do a lot of things that I don't charge for to educate on purpose, because I believe my job as a nurse is to give back. Also, my job as a person who serves the Lord is to give back.
Sure.
So a lot of people don't know how many, like this, every time there's a graduation, I say to all my parents that have seniors, because we can keep our children on our health insurance until like 25,
six, I
26.
Think. It's a long time now. It's 25, but it might be 26.
But once your child turns 18, guess what? HIPAA kicks in.
Yep.
And it always kicks in. But if something were to happen to that child, they were going to college, join a fraternity, get too much alcohol in their system, go to the hospital, that hospital does not have to talk to you. I tell every parent, get a medical power of attorney. Your child can change it later when they get married to a different person. They don't have to pick mom and dad. I hate to say that, but they don't. They can pick anybody they want.
They can pick an older sibling, an aunt or uncle, grandma, grandpa, like whoever.
Right. But also I say everybody needs a medical and financial power of attorney. One of the things I do in our church with young families, they have children, they don't get life insurance, they don't get medical power of attorney, they don't get anything. Something happens and the hospital can choose whether or not to communicate with you. And there's nothing an advocate can do if you don't have medical power of attorney, because you have to give me permission. And if you don't have permission to give me permission, so that's a hot button for me to teach. It's also a hot button for me to teach about durable power of attorney and also solo agers. Because solo agers, those are people like myself that don't have biological children. You need to make sure that you prepare for who's going to wipe your butt if you become a stroke victim or whatever, you know? And I know that sounds silly and whatever, but the cost of healthcare and the cost of if you need private care around the clock privately is $30,000 a month today.
Oh, yeah. It's incredibly expensive.
It's incredibly expensive. And people are like, well, that's a problem. And I'm like, well, that's only paying $30 an hour for somebody to use a Hoyer lift to lift you, to turn you to. So that's backbreaking work. And usually that caregiver doesn't get all that money, because that caregiver is usually coming through an agency. So they're probably getting 16 or 17.
Right.
And the agency is then paying, you know, Medicare, taxes, insurance, etc. So people have really got to, it's such a passion for me to have your living will, have your advanced directives, have your, like, forget money, forget patients, forget a business. Like, if I could get the entire world to do that, that would help so much. It's crazy.
I mean, honestly, I was trying to think of which ones we have and don't have. I might have to talk to you and figure out, because I know we have some of them, but maybe not all. Like, I know that we have trust in place, and I've talked before in the podcast about trusts and like just protecting. I mean, just people don't realize, and there are ways to do it where it's not going to break the bank anymore, right? Like, I think
Texas people is wonderful.
What'd you say?
I said Texas is wonderful when it comes to, you're so right. If you have any assets, putting them in a trust and something horrible happens to the family or a family member medically, that trust cannot be touched.
Right.
At all. And if you go through all your money and run out of insurance, we can apply for Medicaid. But if you don't put that house or that property or that whatever in a trust, they'll give you Medicaid, but they'll take that house when it's all said and done. You know what I mean? So
people just think that all that kind of stuff is for the wealthy. Like, that's what they have in their brain. It's like, oh, I can't afford to do all these things. But there has been like things that have made it so much more reasonable. Like, I had a guy on from Legal Shield, right? And like, it's like a very small amount a month that you pay, and they'll do a lot of those kind of forms and things like this for you, right? So I get it if you're living paycheck to paycheck, but again, this is all about what I talk all the time, which is choose your hard. Like, what hard do you want? Do you want hard of like, oh, I don't want to deal with that right now, whatever. And then all of a sudden you're trying to hire somebody like Terry, but oh wait, you can't because you don't have the right authorities, you know, and your spouse is in
that
thing dying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you want? Like, so you got to pick your heart.
Right. Well, and if you're not prepared and you're the financial supporter of the household and you die or get a severe illness, you really haven't put your family first. And I know that really sounds harsh,
No, it's a truth.
And I'm not saying because you're poor that you're not putting your family first, but I am saying there are ways, just like you said.
Yeah,
and
there are resources.
There are.
100%.
And yeah, totally available. The other thing on financial power of attorney that's a hot button for me, and people don't know this necessarily, because we live in such a cybercrime society, the basic financial power of attorney form in most states, but specifically in Texas, do not work at banks. And I tell people, if you don't get it done in a trust through a lawyer, go to your bank, ask them for their form, and list somebody as your financial power of attorney.
Sure.
Because then it's the bank's form and they'll accept that. Does that make sense? My mom passed away in January and my dad, God love him, hadn't removed her from the accounts yet. And now my dad's on hospice and my brother had to go to the bank to pay bills and stuff. And they said, well, your mom's listed as the next person, so we can't give you any information. So he had to go, thank God, my dad had me as an advocate and he had the right durable power of attorney. And my brother, all he had to do was produce the fact that my mom was dead. So he had to produce a death certificate. But that was also hard because here he is putting his dad on hospice and being reminded of the passing of his mother. So if you just do those things ahead of time, you even save angst and pain from your whoever's doing it for you. You know, so like you said, it's not always all about money. Sometimes it's about just providing an ease. Nobody likes to talk about passing or being sick or things like that happening, but we live in a fallen world and that happens. And if we're prepared, then we're actually loving our loved ones. And I'm not saying if you didn't do it, that you didn't love them. So I want to clarify that because, you know, somebody will say, oh, I don't have whatever.
But the truth is that you feel exactly as I feel, which is you have to live a life with intention. And my whole goal with Financial Master Simplified is your life, your terms. So if you want to listen to this episode and be like, Terry and Jax don't have any freaking clue what they're talking about, I don't want to listen to any of that. That's great. And that's fine. And you're not going to hurt my feelings. And I'm not going to go home and cry about it. That's perfectly fine. We're trying to give you good information for you to be able to succeed in the way that is going to resonate with you and make sense for you. And a lot of people just don't know some of these things, right? And this has been an amazing episode of just lots of great knowledge. Terry, we'll definitely have to do this again sometime soon. In the interim, though, I think you have an offer for the listener. So I'm going to let you make that offer and then we're going to wrap it up.
Sure. I do something called a medical binder, which I get all of your medical information and put it into a binder. It has all your doctors, all your emergency contacts, all of your medications, any procedures, surgeries, most recent things that you've had done. And that's normally a $350 charge for me to do that for you. And I'm offering that for $100 if you mentioned that you saw this podcast. And it doesn't matter if it's a year and a half from now. If you mention that this is where you saw it, I will honor that. You have no idea how valuable that is.
Absolutely.
Especially when you have older people or children with chronic issues. When you go to the doctors, you already feel like they don't listen to you, right? So Absolutely. You have a book that says, oh, here's my last labs. Here's my last whatever. And they actually respect that. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is.
For sure.
So thank you so much, Jax.
Absolutely. Well, this has been awesome. And I'm sure that we'll have to, she and I probably could talk all day about being passionate when it comes to just, you know, living with intention with all the kinds of things in life that touch your life and your money, right? I mean, because the real reality is people don't realize money really does touch everything. So you think it doesn't, it really does. And so we want you to live a life with intention. So I hope this episode was helpful for you. And we look forward to seeing you next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.